Welcome back to the Lindsay Morgan Snyder podcast, where we are all about the internal world, the interior life. I am one who believes that personal growth and Jesus do not have to oppose each other. Actually, they work very well together. So if you're anything like me, you're going to love this podcast. I want to tell you about something real quick I have starting this week. It is the Letting Love In Accelerator featuring the scripting method. It's an 8-week program that starts this Wednesday. If you have any interest in this, feel free to email me at lmorgansnyder31@gmail.com. I'll put the link in the bio. Talk to you later. Hey guys, have you ever struggled with doing what you feel like God is telling you to, but it's not because you don't want to be obedient to God, it's more because you have this fear or you have this mean voice, as I like to call it, inside that's telling you, like, you're not good enough for that. You could never do that. Who do you think you are? Like, you would look like an idiot. Like, that is going to be painful. That is going to be hard. Do you ever hear those thoughts in your head? They sound like you, but they're not. I call them the mean voice. And the reason I'm coming on today is I want to tell you a quick story of... Can we get like hashtag vulnerable? You know me. I like to be hashtag vulnerable because I think that, I don't know, our world needs a little vulnerability, right? And, you know, I heard recently someone talk about the difference between vulnerability and authenticity. Now, I'm not going to get it exactly correct, so forgive me. But they were basically saying, like, authenticity is, like, what's happening current day, and vulnerability is, like, what you've already worked through. Or I actually might have this twisted around, but that there's a difference. Like, one is what you're currently going through. Can you be honest about what you're currently going through? Why or why not, right? Can you be honest about the lessons you've learned in the past? I mean, honestly, I think both take some courage. and both can be, you know, dysfunctional as everything, but they can be very functional as well. And so I just felt led, convicted by God to come on and tell you about something God told me to do 3 years ago, which I didn't do. Which, like, hello, Lindsay, why, you know? Well, I believed a lot of lies around it, to be honest, and I had a lot of judgment around it, to be honest, and I didn't want to do it, and so I never did it. And I'm not saying that God let me become very poor financially because I didn't listen to him, but maybe. No, I'm just kidding. I don't have a whole theological statement on that. But, you know, I do think that God gets our attention through circumstances. And, you know, sometimes he has said to me, like, why don't you go back and see what the last thing I told you to do was that maybe you didn't do? I've experienced this before with him. He is so kind. He's not mean. He's so kind and gentle, but he will, like, remind you. Am I alone here? Anyone? Okay. So he is so kind, though. If it's a mean voice, I'm sorry, that's not God. Now, God's a good dad, right? That's my theological statement. God is a good dad, right? But for those of you that have kids or just, like, little humans in your life, I actually don't have kids, but God's taught me about him through, you know, just children that I see here and there. And, you know, a good dad is going to, like, kind of make you do things you don't want to do sometimes because he knows that's good for you, or he's going to stop you from doing things that you want to do because you think it's good for you. And he's like, yeah, that's not going to work out super great. So, like, he's a good dad. You know, that's my main theological statement. God is a good dad, right? And if you think of truly what a perfect dad is, they don't give you everything you want when you want it, you know, but they do want the best for you. And they do, like, do everything they can to give you what's best for you. And that's how I see God, because, you know, the Bible says he's our father and we were adopted. And so that's who we are, folks. If we realize it or not, it's who we are. And, you know, there's no perfect dad on earth. And he knew to level the playing field that we all needed
a perfect dad. So we all have one. If you're 110, you have a perfect dad in heaven. If you're 6 seconds old, you have a perfect dad in heaven, right? Some people have dads on earth, some people don't. Some people have good dads on earth, some people don't. Doesn't really matter. God leveled the playing field, right? So, you know, he told me 3 years ago. Yeah, I'm slightly embarrassed. But no shame, right? No shame around our mistakes because we all make them, right? So 3 years ago, I felt like God said, I want you to open your coaching practice. Now I'm going to tell you what. The word coach makes me want to kind of barf. I'm sorry. I don't know why exactly. I probably need to dig into that with the Lord. But I just don't like that word, you know? Because I guess I associated it with a certain style of helping people. And I don't really get a lot of help from that style. So I'm just like, why would I do that, Lord? You know? And then I attempted to kind of open that up in small, tiny, tiny, tiny ways. And honestly, like, I just experienced some things that I didn't really like. So I just swore it off. You know, I was like, no, I'm not doing that. And God is kind because whether he wanted me to do it then or he knew I was going to need a little more, I don't know, the picture I get is like a little like massage, you know what I mean? Just like, okay, Liz, like let me soften some things around this for you, you know, which is super kind of God. And then let's try it again. So anyway, he's so kind, right? But I do think that the inner critic can get in there and just like lie to us, you know, about the things God has for us. And so my practice is going to be kind of specific. It's not just like anyone who wants to do anything, I can help you, because I honestly don't really think that's super true. Anyway, I won't digress. But for me, I'm focusing on kind of executive level people that are Christian, because we're going to talk about the Lord. I'm going to teach you how to connect emotionally to God through like a dialogue format that he has given me, that I've been practicing myself for 10 years, and I've opened up a certification for other coaches to learn this practice, and they've been getting crazy breakthrough with their people, and it's really exciting. I have it in my 8-week mentoring program, but you know, not everybody wants to go through a program like that. Some people just need, like, they want more one-on-one attention, which I totally get. So that's why I think God's asking me to add this element to what I'm doing, and I'm excited about that. But yes, so I'm focusing on more executive level people that really do want to kind of get over something and start something, right? So there's something that's in their way. They're stuck, right? They're stuck. And they really need wisdom and strategy from God to become unstuck. And that can be in their, you know, in their current job. That could be like wanting to jump into like entrepreneurship. That could be anything. It could be honestly anything. It could just be a change in their career in general. It could be, you know, just wanting some more like inner healing with the Lord. Like, or I call, I call the method that I teach people organic inner healing. I know, isn't it cute? I think God gave it to me, but It's where I teach people how to connect with the Father heart of God. And as they do this practice that I have, they begin to really allow themselves to, you know, emotionally process things in a really kind of fun way. And it leads to like deep healing for people. And I only know this, not because I set out to do this, but because I've been practicing this method he gave me for 10 years, and then he had me step out in different ways, and then people are getting like insane breakthrough and telling me this. Like, you know, one of my clients is like, Lindsay, like this is like inner healing. And I was like, wow, I had no idea, you know. So God's so cool. So he's just showing me now, like, okay, like, will you offer this to, you know, my kids that need this lens, like, you know, and I'm like, okay. So that's what I'm doing. So that's exciting. So I'll be putting info about that up very soon. But I also wanted to share another inner critic story, which is super vulnerable. What? But that's okay. Vulnerability is, I think, helpful. I don't know about you guys, but I was at a recent event, kind of a worship night here in LA, one I go to, and the leader, who is just very accomplished and like just awesome. It's a great, great, great leader. I just respect his leadership immensely. And this week he was being so vulnerable with us about some things. And it honestly gave me so much joy because I was like, wow, like, amen. Like, I've kind of had those thoughts in my head, or, you know, I've kind of struggled with that. And like, just to know, like, okay, this person who's very accomplished, especially in the entertainment realm, you know, like, the fact that they have these thoughts too, the fact that, you know, they're going through something too, like, and yet they like can just like laugh at the circumstance in a way, is so encouraging and powerful to me. And I just love it. I'm so encouraged by that. And so I always want to encourage others in that. So some of you know that 10 years ago, well, no, like 12 years ago, I was sitting in my corporate job. I worked for a leadership organization. Chick-fil-A was one of our sponsors. It was great. I mean, I loved our CEO. I mean, we just had such a great thing going. And we had the biggest leaders in the world on our stage, and we just put on these fantastic events. We had a Christian conference that we put on where we had the biggest Christian speakers on our stage, and it was a really powerful season of my life. And I was sitting in my office, and I was, you know, doing my sales report kind of like after hours, you know, and I was just sitting there, and I I had all these highlighters, these colored highlighters, and I was just highlighting, you know, in these different colors. And like a, I don't know even what you want to call it, like a flash, I heard, "Lindsay, you are a creative person stuck inside a business person's body." And it was one of those times where God spoke to me, but it was like I kind of like resonated with it and aligned with it in the moment. It was just so powerful. I don't know what you call those, but it was one of those. And I knew it was true. And I was like, whoa, you know, like, that's so true. That's actually who I am. Well, what do I do with that? You know, and I didn't know what to do with that. But, you know, in my life, I kind of learned if you were a creative, you were kind of a starving artist type. And if you were in business, you had money and you could, you know, like, function in life better. And so I think I had kind of started to just live that out, right? Like, our beliefs are really important to how we live. And so I was like, okay, like, I'm gonna, you know, go to college for business. And I actually went to college for communications and public relations, but then I went to business school for marketing, which is kind of creative side of business. But anyway, and so I, you know, but when I got into the workforce, I just went into business, and, you know, was in sales and marketing, corporate for 15 years, and, you know, was really on track to do super well financially. And then I felt God, I felt God lead me in the idea that Atlanta, which is where I lived, where I met Jesus when I was 31, I felt God say, Atlanta is not your ending spot. And I was like, okay, you know, and I was like, well, I want to be a missionary for you, God. I'll go anywhere. Like, I was thinking like overseas in other countries, because in my slightly naive mind, I was a new Christian. I thought, oh, they're the ones who need help. I know, like, don't hate me. I'm just being honest. That's what I thought. Later, I realized, like, I don't know. We all have problems, obviously. But I just remember, this is a little bit of a bunny trail, but I just remember going to Haiti and realizing, like, and then coming back to Atlanta and walking down the street in a very affluent neighborhood in Atlanta. And I thought, wow, the people in Haiti had way more joy than the people who have money. So, you know, I kind of realized, like, okay, my little naive thoughts weren't so on point, right? Just because, you know, you have quote unquote success does not mean you have any joy from the Lord. So
again, I digress. Coming back from the bunny trail. Come back from the bunny trail, Linz. Come back from the bunny trail. So I had said that to God, like, I want to be a missionary. I'll go anywhere for you. And I was totally thinking overseas because God had changed my life in such a dramatic way, kind of a Saul to Paul conversion. I had a similar thing happen. So I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, this must be, you know, this must be the whole point of life, which I still believe it is the whole point of life. But like, you know, I want to go where people don't know you, God. That's what I was like telling God. Like, I want to go to the furthest place that people don't know you. And kind of clear as day, I heard back. He didn't say great, but I kind of felt this like, great. I need missionaries in Hollywood. To which I was like, what? Like, they have money, they're fine. Which would kind of contradict what I just realized not too long ago. But I didn't really believe it was him, actually. So it took some time. And he, man, did he ever confirm in some crazy ways. I laid out fleeces for him. Like, I need to make this much money. I need this. All these impossible things that he totally made happen. I was like, I guess I don't want to be Jonah. So I'm going to head out there. I don't know anyone there. For some reason, I was more scared to come here than, like, somewhere overseas. Anyway, maybe if the overseas thing would have been more real, there probably would have been more, you know, trepidation. But anyway, just telling you the story as it went. So, you know, I came here. I brought my job with me, which was also kind of a miracle because they didn't even let people work from home. But somehow I had favor to work from LA now, which was had to be God kind of thing. So that was cool. So I came here with my job and, you know, that was 9 years ago. So Lindsay, what's the point, right? What is the point of what you're talking about? Well, the point is, you know, I really love the entertainment industry, and sometimes I get mad at it. But it's such a beautiful medium, and Jesus, he taught in story form, like, the whole time, you know? Like, I don't know what the percentage is, but he just taught in story form, and I'm like, this is so important to the Lord. And I remember when I got here, God had me take this, like, you know, I don't know what it was, like a 3-month program. It was kind of intense, actually, and not cheap, but it was the Lord. So I did it. And this woman spoke, and she had lived in LA all her life. And she said, you know, I wanted to go do something for God. So I joined, I don't know what mission organization it was, but to go over, I think, to another country and, you know, be there to be a missionary as the way she saw missionary. And so she was over there, and I think she said for like a year, she like made no connections. Like, she had no fruit basically. And right before she left, she said, you know, she'd finally like kind of befriended this one gal, and they were talking, and she said to her, like, have you ever heard about church or God? She was in a country that was very close to the gospel. And this girl goes, only in movies. It was so funny because this woman was like already in LA, like making movies, but felt like she wasn't doing God's work. So she needed to go, you know, to another country to do God's work. And like, obviously in that moment, she was like, oh my gosh, the only person I've ever connected with this whole year is this girl. And the way she learned about God was from a movie. And it made this woman think like, oh, I actually have been doing God's work the whole time, you know? So anyway, I just love that story because it's just interesting, you know? It's like, wherever God wants you to be, do that. And, you know, for me, I want to help people connect to God in a deeper way because God has the best stories, right? Like, he's not looking to just write, like, you know, he wants to do the best work. You know, he wants to have the best art. He has all the wisdom, the Bible says. He has all the strategies. Like, it's not
heart. He's not like hiding them from us, right? I mean, yes, he wants us to be close to him. So he does like to do like business with us, I believe, because we're his kids, right? So like we're in the family business. So he does desire that nearness and that closeness. And, you know, some people reference a lot the Bible verse, like, you know, God hides things for us to seek out, which I think that's so sweet of God. Like, he's a dad. Of course he wants to play games, you know, that are fun and, you know, sweet and stuff. But I also believe sometimes we make it a little difficult. It's not that hard. Like he says, I have all the wisdom. If you ask, I'll give it to you, you know, but I don't know. Sometimes we don't ask. So in what I help people with, I help them ask God for wisdom. And I really teach them how to connect with him and maybe not depend on themselves so much and or depend on others, which, you know, codependency. I definitely am a recovering codependent. So just that tendency to like try to find the formula, you know, or think everyone knows more than you or whatever. So if you struggle with those kind of things, like I can really help you. And I really do want to focus on like executives in the entertainment and arts. But obviously, like anyone who, you know, feels God leading them this way, give me a ring-a-ling, right? But I do feel from God more called to help, Christian executives who do want a deeper connection with God, who really do want to learn to get strategies, blueprints, wisdom from heaven in a really kind of simple way, but simultaneously like be able to kind of process what's going on in their world with God, because this method that I teach does both of those things simultaneously, which is pretty awesome. So that's what's going on over here, guys. So anyway, it's exciting. Yeah, I think it's kind of exciting. So probably we'll start to move the podcast a little bit more in that direction in next season, which is exciting. Probably going to have some new guests on. And we're going to talk about the entertainment and arts mountain again, which we did in the beginning. But then with this idea of, you know, how do we... Yeah, just how do we do what we do, right? What do we feel called to by God, and how are we doing that? How are we overcoming things, you know? And it's going to be really exciting. So I just suggest that you, well, keep on listening if you're already listening. But I'm really excited, and I'm excited for all of us because it's going to be good. It's going to be good. I have one more inner critic story for you for next time, which is super vulnerable. But it's something that I did see a lot of my friends doing, and I thought in my head I could never do that. And God has actually opened up an opportunity for me to do that, which is quite unusual for many reasons, which I'm going to keep secret for a little bit longer, but it's pretty exciting. So join us next time. And, leave a review. Also, if you like this podcast, that helps so much. The algorithms, you guys know the algorithms. But if you leave a review and you're like, I like this podcast, or I think this is interesting, or whatever, like it's honestly like hashtag helpful. So thanks so much for that. All right, guys, love you. Talk to you soon. Bye.